Welcome to episode one of the Two Beards podcast. Aaron, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm very good, mate. You?
Yeah, mate, it's taken a while to get us here, isn't it?
Fucking Jesus Christ.
We've had a couple technical issues. Oh. Then I fell asleep and didn't answer my phone.
Yeah, I didn't sit outside for a pillock like for about 45 minutes thinking, oh, I could be at home having a nice Chinese now. And then you weren't answering the phone. One of those where messaged you on WhatsApp, gone online, then fucking disappeared.
No, I never done that. I never done that.
I promise you did.
No, I didn't.
I swear on my son's life, mate.
For the record, I did not do that.
You didn't do it on purpose. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I saw online, I even screenshotted it, went home and fucking was fuming.
Okay, for the sake of this podcast and everyone, I did not do that on purpose and I apologise. I was asleep. But we're here now.
Absolutely.
And we are ready to crack on. So before we start with Arsenal last night, let's talk about the game on Saturday, the FA Cup. Because I want to ask you, was you one of them? Forget last night's results. We'll think last night hasn't happened yet. Was you one that wanted it rotated? Did he make the right team selection for you? Or was you looking at this thinking, what are you up to, mate?
I think we have to accept in the league, we're nobodies, right? So we have to win things that we've got a chance of winning. So chopping and changing a team for the FA Cup. We love the FA Cup. You know how many times we fucking won it. But yeah. I just think with the FA Cup, everyone loves a cup final. Everyone, as fans, you and us growing up, we've seen us win that competition quite a few times. I just think that with the FA Cup, fuck the chopping and changing. Stop experimenting with shit. Playing Pepe and Willian on the same at the same time doesn't work.
See, I disagree a little bit because
you're gonna.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to. I love the FA Cup. I love it more than anyone. But I just think to myself that I know we need to win things, but we need. I think we needed to rotate because you can't just forget about the league position. Not a club the size of Arsenal. We can't just sit there and accept. Okay, maybe we'll finish 10th, 11th, but we might win a trophy.
Yeah, to be fair, we're not like a Burnley, are we?
Do you know what I mean?
No,
I agree. I don't think we can accept that. And like, we had to rotate. Every squad has to rotate, regardless of who they are, on a normal season.
Yeah, of course.
Let alone a season where you are playing three games.
You're playing catch up,
every week. You're playing three games a week, basically. I think he made the right decision. I think he had to rotate. Mate, I don't want to be one of them clubs that sit there and put all my eggs into the FA Cup every season.
And to be fair, look at the fucking goal we conceded. It was an own goal by Gabriel.
Do you know what I mean? We were still unlucky and I thought we still created chances. Obviously, I get making that many changes is going to take away from the energy and the sort of the way we play.
Yep.
But then the quality on the pitch was still, I still think it was there. Like, you look at the players he brought in. Gabriel came in, which everyone wanted.
Yeah.
You couldn't play Partey because he's only just come back from injury.
Yeah, Tierney, and look at last night. He come up with cramp with 20 minutes to go. Or
Tierney has to be wrapped in cotton wool. You need to protect him because he's so important.
Yeah.
Aubameyang was set to play until what happened.
Yeah.
Hope his mum's okay, by the way. We're all thinking of him. And then Saka and Smith Rowe. Even Arteta said last night, we cannot keep relying on two 19-year-old boys. They have to have a break.
Of course.
They have to. So I don't think he made the wrong decisions. It's just
the people. But it's all hindsight, though. It's like it's wrong because we're out. But then, like what you're saying, when you break it up and you put it into perspective about like the season and playing three games in a bloody week,
you're
going to have to rotate at some point anyway. So it probably was the best option. But listen, this club needs to be back in the Champions League, and maybe Arteta, probably deep down, might think it's a less aggravation of being in another cup competition, just fucking concentrate on the league. Let's see how we can get on, because we've been doing all right the last, six games? I think we won five out of six.
We're like, 6 points behind top four now, something like that. Yeah. And with the way this league's going, that's nothing. That's literally nothing now. Everyone's dropping points left, right and centre.
Yeah.
And if you're going to put your eggs in one basket for a cup competition, it has to be the Europa League.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
There's an end product that comes from that. It's a goal. Like, the FA Cup final's great. We win a trophy.
Yeah.
But it's just a piss up. It's not getting on a sunny day. Do you know what I mean?
It's not getting you your Champions League football again. And we need the money.
Of course. We're just going to go out, get smashed, and that will be the end of it.
Yeah.
There'll be nothing. We'll obviously look back and know we won a trophy, but there'll be nothing to show from the end of the season from that. Whereas the Europa League, we're going to get back to where we belong.
Yep. Fingers crossed.
We will. So, last night then, what did you think of last night? I thought it was the best we've played all season, personally.
Yeah, I think it was a very solid performance as well. And we took our chances, like Saka, with his chance. I think that's what he should have done with when we played Leeds and we drew 0-0. He had a similar opportunity.
Yeah, he did.
Near the end of the game, like we was getting peppered left, right and centre. We were against Leeds and they've hit the bar, hit the post a few times. And I just think those fine margins, you've got to take your chances. And I think he done very well.
Wait. Before you go any further, you know what's coming. We had a conversation before and you said Saka's not it. You said Saka is not going to be world class because he's missing it.
Yeah, he scored one goal.
No.
Listen, before you really interrupted, I was going to say, he loves it. I was going to say, you want that continuously with Saka. He's clearly got something about him, but I stand by what I said. Like, I don't think he has the X factor to have like really top clubs come in and be like, let's take him off Arsenal's roster. That's just the way I think. But listen, I hope I'm fucking proved wrong. Took his goal well done. Happy days. But then there was elements in the second half yesterday where we're on a counter attack. He's got two players around him, like sort of half closing him down, not like a solid press. And he's just sort of like clumping it forward into fucking no man's land instead of just retrieving possession, going back and recycling it. That's what I can't stand about what he does. He does some really good stuff. Like, look at Lacazette's goal. First time, ball across the box, right foot. Lacazette's 3-1, it's game over. But there's other things in his game where he gets the ball in certain situations. Be fucking strong. Like, use a bit of your power. And like, I don't know, win a foul. Win fucking stupid free kicks. That's what we don't do. We haven't done that at Arsenal for fucking ages. We just rather sort of lose possession and then it's on against us again. But I think, like, defensively, our defensive shape yesterday, Leno done pretty well yesterday.
Great finish from Armstrong though, weren't it? Could do nothing about
it. He can't do anything about it, but it's a well-rehearsed fucking corner. Like a set
piece.
Great
strike.
But yeah, I was very happy with the performance and obviously the result.
And Smith Rowe?
I love him.
Do you?
Yeah, I just like the way he plays. I was always like a Hleb fan. So he reminds me of Hleb a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's a few people that didn't really rate Hleb because he didn't have like a bit of an end product. Kept the ball well. And as I said, talking about Saka recycling it and keeping it and keeping possession, I think Smith Rowe does that very, very well. But there's going to come a time where, let's say next season, Smith Rowe, right now, what are you doing? Are you going to be like an assist king? Or are you just going to fucking plod along and just get your assist, get your stats up with like passing the ball? Like, you need to like step up a little bit. Where are you going to go next? That's what I think. But the signs
where do you think he'll go next? I'm ready to call him Smith Rosehill. I'm committed to it.
Give him number 10.
I'm involved, mate.
Him or Odegaard?
Mate,
by the way, we've just obviously secured a loan for.
I actually think Odegaard is one of the most smartest and sensible signings we could have made in a long time. I don't want to hear all this crap about, Dennis Suarez, Kim Kjellström, loan. No, it's a great signing, mate. It's a fantastic signing. Anyone who played Football Manager knows De Gea's is a genius.
People that follow their football as well, if you know your young talent around Europe and you follow him and see what he's done, and you don't go to Real Madrid...
Listen, it doesn't matter who you are. If you go to Real Madrid, you've got a bit of Sonic about you. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't work sometimes for everyone, but there's something there for you to even get that move in the first place, especially at his age. Last season at Sociedad, some of the passes that he made, I see the one that floats about where he cuts out about four people diagonally along the floor. Incredible. He's got the ability in small places.
But the Prem is a different kettle of fish.
Of course, I get that. It's a totally different kettle of fish, which is why I think this is an ideal signing, because I'm thinking we need a number 10 and we're desperate for it.
Yeah.
They've obviously got their main targets who they want. But if we can't go out and get them now, there is no point wasting money left, right and centre on anybody
in
and
January,
everyone.
In because you're going to be paying over the price
of
anyway.
Of course, they're quoting 50 million for Buendia. Now, I love Buendia. I think he's fantastic. But 50 mil is a lot. Bring someone in like Odegaard. Let's see how he goes. Because he might come in now, do 6 months, and he comes away with 10 assists. Then thinking to yourself, all right, cool. If you want 50 million for him, I'm going to slap it down and I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
So I'm pleased with that. I think that's a great signing. Matt Ryan came out of nowhere. That is the bollocks, that signing.
Yeah.
Love that.
Lovely number 2, isn't it?
Love that, mate.
But the thing is, even if Leno for some whatever reason gets injured or whatever, it's not one of those situations where, like, you remember when Szczęsny was injured and he had fucking Almunia going in goal.
Yeah, it's not that.
Like, I blame that fucking prick for the Champions League final.
Yeah, of course.
Like, his shit goalkeeping and his angles. But with regards to Ryan, it's like, if Leno does get injured or whatever, going into the Europa League, if that's what Arteta's going to do and have Ryan in the sticks, I'm not panicking.
Yeah, no, they've Happy made, days. Yeah, totally. They've made two great signings this summer. I can't knock them at all.
Mm.
Apparently, they weren't looking at a left back as well, which I do think we need. Well, I say we need that, but then Cedric turned into Roberto Carlos last night. That ball.
What a ping. You messaged me, didn't you? Wow.
Clarting it, what mate. A ball. Right, mate, unbelievable ball.
But I've said it for a while. He must have been injured because he should start ahead of Bellerin.
I think Bellerin starts because
he's part of the furniture.
Yeah and no, because he does know what it means to play for Arsenal, and every squad has one of them. Do you know what I mean?
I get that.
And I think that's part of the reason why he's in there. I don't necessarily think he's the best technically that we have at the club at right back.
But I said it yesterday, like, another thing that frustrates me with him, I don't know whether it's because of injuries, he don't want to exert himself, but he gets the ball, he does fuck all with it.
Mm.
Doesn't take a player on. He comes inside far too much, and that's obviously down to the coaching with Arteta. He's obviously trying to get him involved a little bit. But when he gets the ball at right back in our own half, he either hits the fucking first man and it goes out for a throw, or we lose possession. I lost how many times he done that yesterday with Southampton. Or he'll go backwards.
And then he'll do a foul throw once he's won the throw.
Mate, he should get fined a week's wage.
But I get what you're saying, but Tierney on the other one. Tierney.
I love him.
Mate,
but if you're looking at signing a left back, I know you need like backup and whatnot.
Yeah.
But where deep down are you looking to play Tierney? Are you looking at really going to a 3-5-2 and having Tierney as one of the centre halves?
I think we just need another left back, because he needs to start left back. I don't want him anywhere else. He has to be at left back because he's such an outlet. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he makes so much space for the left wing, whoever's in front of him, whether it be Uber, Pepe, whoever it is, he makes so much space. But We need someone under, like, to come in because we just haven't got one. Do you know what I mean? Not another left footer.
But you've got to get a left back in that's willing to sort of understand the situation where.
Yeah, of course.
You're
either going to go for someone on the older variety, like a Brian Bertrand that we've been linked with,
yep.
Or you're going to go for someone really young who's ready to sit and wait and learn.
Mm.
Maybe that. Who did I see the other day? That Mitchell from Crystal Palace was being spoken about.
Yep.
Either one, but I just think we need a little bit of cover there.
It'll happen.
It will happen. And then who else was that impressive? Ah, Xhaka. Granit Xhaka last night was incredible.
I think it's incredible. Because of who you play with.
Yeah, of course, like, it makes a difference.
Look at Coquelin with Santi. And I don't mean to harp on fucking about 8-9 years ago, but Coquelin knew his role. It's like Xhaka, he now doesn't have to do certain stuff that Partey does. Like, the way Partey intercepts play and the way he can pass a ball gets about the pitch. Xhaka has never had that in him.
No,
but Xhaka now can concentrate on, I don't know, sort of when the play does break up, get the ball and use it well instead of worrying about other stuff that you're shit at.
He was a lot more forward last night. Yeah. He was a lot more advanced at that pitch than I've seen him all season.
He's like that for Switzerland though, isn't he?
Yeah, of course he is. And that pairing there excites me.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Ceballos ain't cutting it, is he? Really? He's you know, like Smith Rowe, it's like with Ceballos, it's like, what are you?
Mm.
You don't get assists, you don't score.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah.
Are you just like a...
It's a strange one, though, with Ceballos, because through the FA Cup run last season, I thought he was probably one of the better players.
Yeah.
Against Manchester City, he was unbelievable. He was intercepting everything, started a lot of the moves off. So it probably is what you said. What is he? Where is he? Where does he want to play? What does he want to do?
Yeah.
Because I don't actually know what his best position is yet. And I don't think we've seen the best of him at Arsenal.
Probably not. He probably hasn't got the right clientele around him. Mm. We probably don't suit him. The old Arsenal.
May have. You liked the old Arsenal, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got to let it go. Depressing.
And then obviously the saga's finally over. Was you happy?
Not really. What I think's unfair from a fan's perspective is that I feel that we've earned the right. Like, we pay a fucking lot of money to go and watch that football club. We've earned the right, in my opinion, to be told and be kept in the loop why Mesut Ozil, our highest paid player, isn't in the fucking Premier League squad, let alone fucking not starting or not playing or being on the subs bench, but not even in the squad.
Yeah.
So not even in the Premier League 25. I think that, but people will fucking argue, Arsenal don't owe you anything. Of course they fucking don't. That's the way football goes. But yeah. I just think that, have a bit about you. Is it to do with the whole fucking China thing that's gone on? Is it to do with that football's bypassed him in the Premier League? Is his attitude shit? Didn't want to take a pay cut? Didn't want to do this, ain't a team player. Fucking, just tell us and let us know. Because you get all these divvy Arsenal fans that say, oh, he's a fucking mug, he ain't doing this, he ain't doing that, he's shit. Like people like me, old man, he's lazy, ain't he fucking on 350 grand a week? He's fucking shit, he ain't worth it. But the club should come out and be like, conflict of interest because of stuff going on in the Far East. They didn't want to fuck up their promotional side of it. I think Arsenal should have come out with something a little bit more... I don't know, like serious and told us why. Yeah. I think so. They're not going to, obviously, they never will. And Ozil will never fucking say anything. But then Ozil and his PR team go on Twitter and like get a little bit fucking sort of funny about, I'll pay for the dinosaurs' wages and things like that. Like, grow up, you fucking melt.
What was your favourite moment, though, when he was there? What was your best Ozil moment and your best Ozil goal?
My best Ozil goal. Yeah, again, I'm not going to follow the sheep here. And
I know mine.
I'll tell you, you might agree with me, but if I think it's against those fucking farmers and plumbers, no. Mine's Napoli.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. How anyone disagrees with that, I don't get the technique for that one is unbelievable. Yeah, easily right, the best goal. Yeah. Easily.
People are like, oh no, look at this, he's Prime Ozil flicking it over like a couple of bakers and all that. Like, piss off.
No, I'm with you. 100% the Napoli one. The Napoli one, the technique involved in that goal is crazy.
The Napoli one, what was the one where he sort of dug it into the ground and bounced it over the keeper? Where was it? He's done it a couple of times, didn't he?
He done it against Liverpool. When we scored like 2 goals in 2 minutes, Arsenal walking in a winter wonderland.
2-2, wasn't it?
Yeah, finished 3-3.
3-3, yeah, of course. And then
he done it against Palace when we was running for the Champions League under Unai, and then they went straight up the other end and scored again.
And the volley.
Oh, Newcastle.
And the one against when Sanchez was there against Chelsea. We went on a counter-attack.
Oh, yeah.
Sanchez knocked the ball over and then Ozil sort of volleyed it into the ground and then over the keeper.
I can't lie. My moment that I look back as well and I think, oh, that was prime Ozil. It was just the flick, everything. The one against Leicester. That goal. Because it just started for me. It was just that flick. You're just looking for it. That's what he reminds me of. That's what he was. It's a shame. I think the thing is not that he's left, because all good things come to an end and he was always going to leave at some point, but it's just the way he's left.
The way it's gone is that, I mean, look, we got him and then we won 4 FA Cups with him, or 3 FA Cups or whatever you want to call it. But
it's not whatever you want to call it, mate. It is what it is. It would be a fact.
Yeah, but would you say the last FA Cup he had a huge role in it?
Well, no, but I'm just saying this would be a fact, wouldn't it?
So he was at the club, yeah. So okay. He's, okay. I just think at that time we were crying out for sort of a big name signing. We fucked up the Suarez thing. Like whoever signed that off should have been sacked. But he then came in, and do you remember that summer? Like we fucking,
everyone,
best thing since Dennis Bergkamp. All right,
I remember that night on the Sky Sports News.
The yellow bar.
What was his name? Geraint, the news reporter. I can't think of it.
Geraint Jones or whatever his name was. Isn't it?
Yeah. Just there was Arsenal. I just remember it. Ah, it was the greatest moment. Yeah. You'd sit there because there was rumours as well coming up to it that he was going to United, weren't it?
Yeah, last
and
minute.
Then all of a sudden, it was just nope, bang, we've got him. It was just like, ugh. And then he comes and he's away at Sunderland and he brings the ball out of the air and he squares
in
it
in that nice big yellow kit and then he fucking doing the kick-ups with the chewing gum
and then
down the
big
wing.
OG touches it in. Yeah. Oh, it's a good time. It's a shame it's come to an end. It is a shame that it's come to an end. So. As well, last night, Lacazette keeps his scoring run going. What are you thinking about Lacazette at the minute?
I like Lacazette. There's a lot of Arsenal fans that don't. But I think his hold-up play is underrated. All right, it's not Giroud, your boy. But I think he's very strong. He's better than Aubameyang at it. And I think he links up the play a lot better. I love it when he scores. He just looks like, when Ian Wright used to score for Arsenal and Henri, it's like they love it. Like when Lacazette scores,
he loves it.
He fucking loves it.
Yeah.
I like Lacazette. I've always liked him. Great, prolific goal scorer. And hopefully the way we're sort of playing, creating chances, give him a chance in and around the box. You'd like to put your money on him to slot it away. But I like him. I think he's great. But then I think like him and Aubameyang playing in the same side. I don't know personally. I don't know how it works.
I don't know how it works because I like Lacazette at nine. I do. I think his link-up play is good. His hold-up play is good. The way he brings in Saka and Smith Rowe into the game, that little triangle that we're seeing there, that's really good. It's just, I don't really like Aubameyang out on the left.
No, but then when Aubameyang starts, a bit like Henri, when Aubameyang started central.
And then drifts.
Drops to the left.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
So it works.
It's another worry for the defence, whereas if Aubameyang starts left, it's like, well, the cunt ain't going anywhere else because Lacazette's in the middle. But then I think there's a lack of interchanging.
Especially,
Lacazette ain't got the blistering pace like Aubameyang has over him, hence the reason why Aubameyang's always shafted out wide.
What did you think of Pepe last night? Because I think Pepe on the left is a totally different animal to Pepe on the right. 100%. 1,000,000%.
I just think that he needs another summer where he needs to bulk himself up a bit. I think he's too weak. Like he doesn't like. Yeah, again, like when you watch sort of videos of him gliding past players.
Yeah,
especially in the French league, and like yeah, again, the Prem's a different fucking kettle of fish. But you see him gliding past players, and you think fucking hell, strong.
But he's got to have the space to glide past players, and I think the thing is, the games that we've been playing up until recently, they weren't creating that space for him to glide past anybody. He had no room to run past anyone. Whereas last night, you put him out on the left on the way we played last night. He had a bit more space to run at people, which he did. And I think on the left, he ain't got time to think about it.
It seems to come a bit more natural.
Whereas on the right, he's trying to cut inside. He's trying his dribbles.
Well, you know he's
going to
cut inside because he's left footed.
Yeah, you know what he's going to do. Whereas on this on the left, it's not. It's just natural. He moves it. He pushes it on. He's going past people. He's progressive. He played a couple of passes last night.
Give and goes.
Against Southampton in the FA Cup, they moved him out to the left, and within 30 seconds, he's played a through ball through to Eddie. I think keep him out on the left. I prefer him out on the left. I won't say keep him out on the left because obviously he was going to come there and then you still got Gabby, but I do prefer him on the left.
See how it goes. Listen, it worked. It does work. It looks better. So then why are you going to
And then we've
stop
got
it?
The back four, not the back four, sorry, the two centre halves. Robbie's come on well. And then I don't know who I like best next to Robbie. Well, I think I prefer Mari. I can't lie. And that probably goes against what everyone else says. It's probably the most unpopular opinion ever, but I really like Pablo Mari.
Yeah, he looks a nice, cultured, left-sided centre-half, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's not rash. You don't see him chasing forwards to the halfway line. Granted, it's because he knows he can't get back, but I don't care.
He uses his noddle, doesn't he?
Yeah, you're using your loaf. Like, if you can't get back, then don't go. Whereas we've still got centre-half that will drift all the way out to the halfway line, chasing Che Adams, and I'm like, just go sit back where you need to sit.
Yeah, stay back. Let Partey just fucking open his legs a little bit and do it for you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I quite like Pablo Mari, actually. I do really like him.
But we won't know with Arteta.
I don't think
he knows he's solid back four. He's probably got your Tierney, Bellerin, Holding, and it's out of the three knobheads, Luiz, Gabriel, Mari.
Well, they're not really knobheads, are they? It's a bit over the top, mate.
Just a term of endearment, you know me.
It's a bit over the top, mate. It'd be interesting to see what he does in the summer, though, because he's definitely got his target. It'd be interesting. He's got his targets. He knows what he wants. It'd be interesting to see what type of player he brings in.
Do you reckon he'll be given the time?
What? Arsenal? Yeah, I think he'll be given the time and the money.
And the money?
Yeah.
If we get Champions League.
I reckon he'll be giving it anyway, mate. Look, I don't want to be one of them podcasts, because there's untold of them out there, yeah? You know there is. Who will get into all the finances, all the stuff about the board. But I don't care. It's not my dad's money. And if you spend it, you spend it. If you don't, you don't. I love my football team.
Yeah.
And I love the 25 players that they announce in the squad and the 18 players that play of a weekend. I don't get involved. I don't want to be that.
You don't want the politics side of it. Just football club, just fucking
we talk about, men. We talk about in the pub, the football that we see on the weekend, the game, the way we played, the screamers, the red cards, the shit decisions.
VAR.
Yeah, I don't want to get into all that. Oh, but the finances and all that. Bollocks, mate. It's not
excuses, isn't it?
It's not
loads
my dad's
dribble.
Money, mate. It's not. I don't care.
Yeah.
Fuck sake. I want a nice red Arsenal kit come out every year, and I'm happy, mate.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. But no, I
would... Super medium as well, because look, you're looking trim.
Trim, mate. Yes. Trim. Lovely stuff. Got guns and all that now, mate. I think he will be given the time. I think he needs to be given the time.
I hope so.
I think he's...
Because, when you look at... We'll get onto it, but when you look at Lampard and what's going on at Chelsea, Lampard, for me... earned the fucking right to be given a crack at that football club. People can turn around and say, well, you spent 200 million.
Mm.
All right, well, you've only given him fucking 6 months to work it.
Yeah.
6 months.
But I said to you at the beginning of this season, I think he's going to be one of the first to go.
Yep.
You cannot put that many new ingredients into the same pot and expect it to work.
Yeah.
You've got a manager there who is new. You're going to go and sign these big world-class signings. Mm. It doesn't work, mate. It doesn't work. Do you know what I mean? And I mean, I'm shocked that Arteta's getting the most that he is out of these players because it doesn't normally work.
No.
Whereas Lampard's gone and he's paid all this money for like a Kai Havertz and it just...
Timo Werner ain't really kicked on, was he?
I thought it was... As soon as I heard the signings that they made, I said they're fantastic signings. They're great. You have to take your hat off to them. But there's no way he's lasting in that job. Mm. He was in a lose-lose situation. Any big signing that he made that didn't play was going to have to ump and do one.
Yeah, yeah.
If he weren't top of the league by Christmas, he was getting sacked, which he has done. I didn't never think it would work.
Yeah.
And the thing, that's why I'm so surprised that Arteta, because I have always had faith of him, as you know. But where I think credit's due the most is that he came in and he won a trophy, playing great football against some big, massive teams. There's managers who go their whole career winning shit, bringing absolutely nothing. And he's come in and he's done it. He's got that burden off his back straight away.
Yeah.
He then comes back for a new season. Everyone's expectation is through the roof.
Yeah.
Good signings.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it all hits. Then it all shit goes to fucking the fan, mate. It's not working.
Mm.
Trouble. All this Ozil stuff coming out. The football's terrible. And now he's just turned it straight back around.
Mm.
And you have to give him credit for that. And I don't think Lampard had that in his locker because that didn't look like it was going anywhere.
Yeah, they're quite a few Chelsea fans who I spoke to, they were like, our identity, we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Mm.
All right, it's all good having all this talent, but you've got to blend it. And probably Lampard, maybe at this stage in his managerial career, it was just probably too much of a bigger job too soon.
Yeah.
But I think Arsenal and Chelsea are run very differently.
Oh, 100%.
Because, all right, Kroenke is, as we know, he is who he is, but he's not as, I don't think they run it as ruthless as what Abramovich and that do, as you say. I mean, look at Ancelotti. I think his win ratio is the third best in Premier League history.
Mm.
Won a few things at Chelsea.
Yeah.
He's got sacked.
Mm.
So.
But the thing is, it's not just, I don't even think it's the board, it's the fans. Some fans are so quick to want change. Like, let's take a look at Man United, their prime example. Everyone up until what, 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks ago, maybe, Ollie out, the wheels broke, get him out, what are we doing, what are the great, you're top of the league now, mate. Yeah. Shut up, have some patience, let the manager get into these players what he wants, let it work, let it click, let it gel, and you'll reap the rewards from it. Because there's enough quality in that Man United side, like there is in the Arsenal side, like there is in the Chelsea side, that if you give a manager the time to make it work,
it will work.
Eventually, it will. Obviously, there's times that it don't, I get that, but it will. But
give them some time. Yeah.
Chelsea, you're not going to get that there. Any manager who goes there should know you're not getting time. Even if you win something, if you don't win it the way he wants to win it, you're out, mate.
Look at the whole fucking Champions League thing. They was after that for how many years and Mourinho was gone. And Mourinho was their most successful manager. Look how he was fucking sort of treated towards the end.
Exactly. It's crap over there, mate. Who won it for him? Di Matteo, didn't he?
Di Matteo, he was there 4 days, wasn't he?
And he won it and he bagged it. But yeah, I think Arteta, back to what we said with him, I think he'll get given the time.
I hope so.
I think he'll get given the money.
Yeah.
I think you can see he's got the trust of the players now that he's got rid of the ones that weren't trustworthy, but the ones that are there now seem to believe in him, plan the way that he wants to play. So give him...
And I've said that from fucking day one, and the stuff that goes on with Pep at Man City, people talk about how much money he spent on what players. but you have to buy into the philosophy of the manager.
Yeah, of course you do.
Trust the manager and what he's doing. Like, look at the way Liverpool are with Klopp. They'll fucking run through brick walls for him.
Yeah.
They play to a system. Everyone knows their role.
Mm.
They do their jobs and they win the game.
It's the same as how Leicester won the league, mate. No one can tell me Leicester won the league because they had good players, mate. Because their back four was Danny Simpson,
Wes Morgan,
Robert Huth, and was it Christian Fuchs at left back?
Yeah.
Like, they won the league because they had a group of 25 players who sung from the same hymn sheet, and you lot have gave 100%, but them lot were giving 120%.
Yeah.
That's why they won the league.
Yeah, of
Not because of anything else.
Slags, we should have won the league.
We should have won it that year, mate. And when Welbeck scored,
I thought we had.
That's it. I thought we'd won the league. And then we go to Swansea and Man United, and shit totally hits the fan.
Absolutely. As we did in, like, the Wenger's. Isn't it depressing?
It is when you think and look back at it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so, we could have won. Should have won.
Yeah, it is horrible. And do you know, have you ever watched that Champions League final back?
Nope.
No.
I won't do it.
No.
I've seen Sol Campbell's header a few times. And it gives me a little tingle in me prick.
Yeah.
But it's... But what I have done with regards to... whose goal was it? Eto'o's goal.
Mm.
I'm looking back at the offside because Wenger was adamant that it was offside.
Yeah.
So I'm such a sad pillock. I would... If it's gone on the screen, like... I've not watched it, if that makes sense, but it's come up on the screen, the goal, because I'm doing a rerun of it, I'll pause it right on the pass. And then you look along the line, you're like... He's like... A yard and a half offside.
No, I've not watched it back.
Mate.
I've never watched a Sol Campbell go back.
So offside.
Never watched nothing.
I went to Paris.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't get a ticket. I had a couple of quid on me to buy a ticket, but people were trying to ask for 5,000-7,000 euros. I was like, yeah, no, you're right.
You weren't a cabbie then, neither was you. You wouldn't have had the dough back then, mate.
Cabbies wouldn't have that type of money then anyway. Game dead. We went to Planet Hollywood. Me and a couple of pals. I remember leaning forward over my mate's shoulder and I went, we've got 15 minutes left. And then within fucking seconds, it was through and you thought, right, well, that's it. Barcelona, 10 men, we're fucked.
Yeah.
And then Almunia does a little fucking canoe in the fucking top corner, silly prick. Gutted. Cried my eyes out.
Where was it? I was over Arsenal in the pub and I can't remember what pub I was in.
Probably closed down now.
Probably, mate. And I was adamant. I kept saying to everyone, don't worry, we're going to win. We're going to win. They're going to get one more chance. They did get one more chance. And fucking went in, mate. I thought I was adamant we was winning that.
I thought that it was corrupt from the fucking start. That ref was bought off. That ref. Because Eto'o was clattered by a layman.
Yeah.
Julie. You know, their right winger.
I loved
Ludovic Julie.
What a player.
Fucking scored.
Should have just left it.
An open. No, he scored. It was like the ref should have just said play on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Should have just left it.
1-0. All right. Still got 11 minutes. We would have fucking won that.
I love Ludovic Julie, though. On Pre-Evolution Soccer, it was Eto'o, Ronaldinho, and Julie.
He was nice, wasn't he?
He was lovely, mate. I was going to say something there till you said that and then threw me off, and I can't remember what it was.
What about? We'll save for episode 2.
Oh, actually, I get reeled in, though, because. Whenever something happened, like I say, I was convinced we was going to win the Champions League, blah, blah, blah. Mate, I was convinced England was going to win the World Cup, mate. I put £500 on it. I got proper reeled in.
You was looking at the social media, all the fucking beer gardens.
No. Do you know what reeled me in
Box
was?
Box Park.
No. What reeled me in was, did you see that thing where it said, the last time England won the World Cup was like, Burnley got in Europe.
Oh, yeah, fucking all that. Six and all fucking,
mate, I see it. And I was like, no, don't do it, bro. Don't do it. Yeah. Then I was in Mexico and we won the first one. Then we won. And I was like, oh, I'm doing it, mate. We're going to win. It's coming home. It's fucking coming home. It didn't come home, mate.
Nah, did it, fuck.
It didn't come home, mate.
Southgate, yes or no?
Do you know we're actually favourites for the Euros next year?
It's here, isn't it? The final's here, isn't it? Like, it's like a fucking... And it's spread out over across the whole of Europe.
That ain't happening now, mate. There's no, I said this the other day to...
It's meant to happen this year, isn't it?
I said this to one of my mates in work the other day. I don't think it will... I think it's going to happen here.
What, the whole tournament?
Mm. Well, put it this way. There's two countries in Europe who you could ring up and say, can you host the European Championships tomorrow? That's us and Germany,
yeah.
No one else can do it.
Yep.
We've got like 25 stadiums that would be capable of hosting a game.
Yep.
There's no way, given what's going on at the minute, that they can justify playing football, travelling across Europe. Mm. Like, if you look at I see yesterday that they're talking about moving the first leg of Benfica, Arsenal-Benfica in Europa League to a neutral ground because of the virus in Portugal. So I don't think they can justify making these players travel from country to country. Because despite
it'll be so contradictory as well. Of course. What's going on.
And despite all the rules about you can't travel here and this holiday stuff, mate, there'll be loopholes everywhere. People will be travelling to Iceland to get to Bulgaria, mate. It's going to happen. I think they'll just whack it in one country and I reckon it'll be here.
Or whack it in the two. Do England and Germany.
Yeah, you could whack it. You definitely can't do 11 or 10 or 11 or whatever it is that they're doing. But I reckon it will be here or Germany could have that. And if it's here, mate, oh my God, and we win it, you ain't seeing me for 3 weeks, mate.
I hope you come and do this, though.
What?
Just come in a pair of boxes.
That's my big boy. Yeah. As to Southgate, I think he's another one. Like,
The two older midfielders get on me tits. We've got so much talent.
Some of the decisions he makes get on my nerves. And I know you say, people say, we've got another great generation of footballers. Yeah, I think we have. I think we've got a fantastic group of footballers right now. But he got us to a World Cup semi-final, mate. We ain't been there for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
And we should have won that semi-final.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for silly bollocks,
we ain't got
not
name
squaring
him.
The ball,
we ain't got name him,
that was game over, done. We're in a World Cup final, we're beating France, and Harry Kane's lifting it. But, obviously things happen different, but I think possibly you just give him this tournament.
I think
he kind of deserves it, mate. Yeah. Like, I weren't expecting us to get to the semi-final with that squad. I weren't.
But we got a very sort of... lucky draw. It is like you got to win your games. You got to put yourself in that position.
Of course,
you
say that, but how many times did you say, we've got a good draw, and then you go get beat by Iceland?
Yeah.
Like, you still got to beat these teams. True. Like, Colombia ain't mugs. Like, you still got to beat them. Do you know what I mean? I'd probably give him this. It depends. I'll probably change my mind once I see the squad because there's certain players, because he's going to have trouble picking the 25 out of that, I think, mate, because there's some serious talent, especially going forward.
So, out of Grealish, Mount, Madison, Foden,
two.
Who's your two?
Grealish and Foden. Don't even come close. It's a stupid conversation.
I do like Madison.
I don't care. He's got nothing on them two, mate.
Grealish is one, but Foden's natural ability is like, it reminds me, yet again, I'm harping back here, Wilshere.
Yeah.
The way he plays with the football, left foot, like short. And like, if intricate, he's got like that 5, 6, 7 yard burst of pace, and then like he uses the ball well. But I just think look at the team he's in, and what he's wrapped around, and look at what Madison's in, with Leicester. Like, they're not all right. Leicester are playing; they're doing very well. But I just think that Madison is dragging that football club. He's the main number 10. Foden isn't. I'm not doubting Foden's ability because, as I said, Foden is up there. But I just think, put Foden in at Leicester, is he going to have the same effect as what Madison is?
It's another thing. We'll never know, will it? I just think Foden's unbelievable, mate. Like you said, the technical ability that he's got, some of the turns that he made. Look, I love a player who can turn. I remember when it was at Ozil or Sanchez, and looking back on it, I probably made the wrong decision in it, because Sanchez was the absolute nuts. Mm. And I said I liked Ozil because I like players who can take 3 or 4 players out of a game with a turn.
With a bit of movement,
One touch, one control, and you've ruined it.
Canu.
Exactly. Look at the Ozil touch at Anfield, when even the whole of Anfield clapped him. I love players like that. Yeah. And then that's what I think Foden can bring. Mm-hmm. Like, he can take a touch and then you've took 3 or 4 defenders out of the game already. Yeah. Whereas I don't think Madison's got that necessarily in his locker. So I would go Grealish and Matt, Foden all day long. Matt don't even come in it. Saka.
I'm just being polite.
How he's going to fit all these players in, I don't know, mate. Because he's got Sancho, Sterling, Rashford, Kane, Saka.
Did you say Saka?
Yeah.
What, as a possible starter for England?
Listen, mate, I'm gonna be contradictory here as well. Do you know where I'm playing Saka? Just to get him in. Whacking him at left back, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%.
If he ain't going right wing, I'm putting him left back. Get him in, because he's got it. Don't care what you say, he's got all of it.
He might be a decent left back.
The whole thing, mate. He's got everything. No. What about, obviously he's not going to start, but Dominic Calvert-Lewin's got to go.
Yeah, if he continues with Everton. I mean, Everton could march on into Europe here, and if he's still scoring goals, he gets into like near 20 goals for Everton. Of course, he's got to go.
And then you've got Ings as well.
Yeah, no.
No?
Calvert-Lewin, he's one of the best headers of the football.
Yeah, did you see what Ancelotti said about him today?
No, go on.
Well, he was handing him, like, I think he's better in the air than Inzaghi or Sonic.
Wow.
And then Ancelotti was like, oh, if Inzaghi sees me, he'll kill me for saying that.
It's work, that, but that's what you get for working with Big Dunk.
That's it, mate. I love Calvert-Lewin. I think he's fantastic. Right, one last question for you, Al, then we can piss off for this evening. We'll be back next week. Right, you're in a boozer.
Yep.
There's three of you and you're smashed.
Yep.
And your two pals are arguing. They've gone outside ready to kick off.
Yep.
And have a punch up, yeah?
Yep.
One of them's Lukaku and one of them's Zlatan.
I see this.
Who's winning, mate? Who are you putting your money on?
Oh, fucking hell. Like, Lukaku looks like he's got the strength of a fucking bear. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's one of them, like, shake your hand and you'd have broken knuckles. Yeah. But Zlatan, he's not just a football player, is he? He's got...
It's black belt karate, isn't he, as well?
Oh, like, seven down or whatever the fucking thing is. Like, he's got that much confidence.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous. Listen, I wouldn't like being in the middle of it. I wouldn't like to just do this.
I feel like if Lukaku catches you, though, you're in trouble, mate. That's going to be a stiff bang.
Because Zlatan put a little bit of a nut on him, didn't he? On his chin. But I think if Lukaku went in with that head of his and fucking conked it on his snodge.
Yeah, he's in trouble, isn't he?
Yeah, blood everywhere.
He's in trouble, mate. Mind you, though, Lukaku, he'll probably swing and miss.
So bad. that bombshell.
I'll go with Big Zlatan. Can't lie, I'll go. Zlatan will probably pick him off, do his karate kick, his nut.
Lukaku he's gonna lose his head, isn't he? I think he'll lose his head and Zlatan will mock him, like, you know, like just clip him around the back of the head.
Yeah, that it would do that, wouldn't he? It would do that.
Right. But laugh and giggle about it.
Right, Al. Yeah. I think we'll wrap that up for the week.
Sweet.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you follow Aaron on his Insta, which is crazy_ginger_cabby. Make sure you follow me, which is bo_the_beard.
Too many underscores here.
Way too many underscores here. Way too. And we will be back next week, where we'll discuss the end of the transfer window, Arsenal versus Manchester United, and whatever else Aaron feels like taking up next week.
Absolutely.
Lovely, mate.
Top man, Bo.
Take it easy.
Top man. Thank you.